Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
We're going to be reading out of Deuteronomy 6. We'll be kind of going, the sermon will be going through verses 1 to 9. And I read the last part of it there, but I want to give you guys some context, too, of what's happening. Moses is talking to the Israelites, and he is an old man at this point. He's pretty seasoned, and he's actually talking to the next generation of families that are going to be going to the promised land. The previous generation, because of their unfaithfulness and lack of faith, did not get to enter. And now, before this generation is going into the promised land, Moses is giving really some reminders. A lot of what Deuteronomy is a reminder of what's already been said, but we need to be reminded, right? And even the sermon, it's probably going to mainly be and serve as a reminder to you, but we need to be reminded. And so Moses was reminding the Israelites and calling them to faithfulness in the covenant that God had with them. So let's read in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "These are the commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you were crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you." So this was Moses' heart. This was God's heart for the children and their children to fear the Lord, to prosper in the land that he was giving them. And then it says, yeah, so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, or that word Shema in Hebrew can be actually said, listen and obey. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey all that it may go well with you and you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of our ancestors promised you. And then he says it again. You know, kids and parents, we know that when someone says listen twice, it's important, right? So he says it again, listen or hear, O Israel. Again, that word in Hebrew is Shema. And actually in Hebrew, they didn't really have another word for obey, because when you said Shema, it was to hear it, but to also to listen and obey, kind of all encompassed in that word Shema. And then what the Jewish people would call next is the Great Shema. It's the greatest commandment. Again, today, it's probably just going to serve as a reminder to you, but this is the greatest commandment. So I think we need a reminder of this. So the greatest commandment, first of all, is the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. For us in our settings today, that's probably not too hard to grasp. Yeah, for sure, the Lord is one. But the Israel people really needed to remember that the Lord is one. They were surrounded by many different cultures, the Amorites and Moabites, all kinds of different nations. And in those nations, they had many gods. And so for Israel to be distinct and set apart, they didn't want to adopt these other gods and serve them and include them in their worship. But they needed to remember that they were distinct, they were set apart from culture, and they were called to worship the one true God who is one. Then it says, love the Lord your God. This is our calling, to love the Lord your God. I want to talk about how we do that, though. Because sometimes when we think of the word love, it's a little fluffy, right? It's like, love the Lord your God. Okay, I feel passionate emotion to God. And that I think that's part of it. We should have zeal to God. We should have passionate emotion to God. But if we're to love God, it's more than just having emotion towards him. It's more than even just singing like we did this morning. It's really this all-encompassing life of surrender, worship, and obedience to God. Later in the same book, Deuteronomy, I think it spells it out really good. It says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord God require of you?" So we should take notice. What is God requiring of us? He requires only, I love it because it's simple. If we encompass these things, we're living the life that God wants us to do. He requires that we fear the Lord your God. We're called to fear God in the sense that God is holy, he is awesome, he is amazing, and we want to have this reverence and respect towards God and who he is. Fear the Lord your God and live a life in a way that pleases him. And love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. You must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. So I think this really wraps up what it means to love God well. Again, we have to consider that we don't really love God if we're not listening to him, if we're not shamaing, if we're just hearing and then it's going out the other ear and we're not putting it into practice. I don't think we're really showing love to him. Jesus said this to his disciples too. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. Right? We'll listen to God. We'll take heed of what he says and we'll integrate it in our life. So this is how we are to love God. And the capacity that we're called to love God with, I love this, it's with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. With everything that we have, this is how we are to love God. The Hebrew people, when you look at the Hebrew word for heart, they would understand that as the will, the emotions, the thoughts, our mental capacity. Our soul is the essence of who you are, not just immaterial, but including your body as well. And the word strength means, often it's translated actually, very much. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and very much. But it's just talking about do it with everything. With all that you've got, this is what the Message translation says. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. This is the greatest commandment, right? This is the greatest commandment. In Matthew 22, Jesus says it again when asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, all of the laws hang on this. They're all pointing to this. All the commands of God, they're showing us how we are to love God and how we are to love other people. And I really think, again, this morning, it might feel like a simple reminder. It might be like, yeah, I know this. I know the great Shema. I know this is the greatest commandment, but we need reminders. And again, Moses was reminding the Israelites because it's so easy for us to forget what we're living for, what our purpose in life is, why we're here. Later in this passage, Moses says, tie them as symbols on your hand. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. And the Jewish people, even to this day, still actually do this literally. They took this passage very literally. They literally wrap leather straps around their arms and they have a little capsule on their arms with the great Shema in there. They would have that on their foreheads as well. Me and Valerie, when we moved into our house, there was actually a little capsule of scripture on the doorpost. So they took it very, very literally. Sadly, I think this passage is not to be taken literally. We don't literally need to wear the word of God on our arms and our foreheads. But it's just talking about we need to remember these things, right? We need to keep this as a remember wherever we go, on ourselves, on our house. We need to be defined ultimately by God's commands. And the center and the greatest commandment that hangs on is to love God. We need reminders of this. And I think we need to make sure that we keep this in mind. Sometimes, do you ever find that Christianity and just life and following God's call in your life is hard? Do you find that? Life is hard, right? Being a parent is hard. Not being a parent is hard. Being on this planet and living a life pleasing to God is tough. There's some days where it's overwhelming too. And you know, if you're honest, you look at raising my daughter, I look at pastoring, I just feel overwhelmed with what do I do? And what am I called to do? And where am I going? And for me, when I remember the great Shema, it just feels like, okay, this is what I'm called to do. I could do this. I could love God with all I've got. But I've got to remind myself of this. I've got to find a way to keep this at the center of my life, where I'm not living my life with this as a side purpose, but this is my main goal. When I do that, I feel like life simplifies and there's clarity, and I know which way to go. The beautiful thing too is that life is an open book test, right? Life is not a closed book test. We have the Word of God to remind us daily, and we need to be in the Word of God. We need the Word of God to permeate our hearts, to transform our very beings. This is what we're called to do, to remind ourselves of these things, of the great Shema. In this passage too, it talks about impressing these things to your children, reminding your children of all of these things. But before it talks about that, it says in Deuteronomy 6:6, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. All the parents, if I can get your attention, that dedicated your children, and other parents, but also everyone, because you're all people of influence here. If you want to impress it onto someone else's heart, the commands of God, the ways of God, it has to be on your heart first. For the parents that dedicated your children today, it was really fun. This is really fun. I love it. And I just really encourage you, the Word of God must be impressed on your heart before you impress it onto your children. You must dedicate yourself to the Lord if you want your kids to be dedicated to the Lord as well. And this is big, guys, right? If we're not shaped by the Word of God, if we're not transformed by His ways, then it's going to be hard to teach our kids. Because teaching is not just with words, right? We don't just teach with words. We have to teach with our actions. We have to teach with the way that we live our life. We can tell our kids to follow God. We can tell our kids about the commands of God, but they'll see how we live them out, right? We can tell our kids, hey, respect your mother, but they're going to see the way that you treat your spouse, right? We can tell our kids, hey, value church, come to church, but they'll see the way that you value church. You can tell your kids to be generous, but they're going to see the way that you're generous. You can tell your kids to bless your enemies, but they'll see what you do when someone cuts you off on the road, right? They will, and they'll learn from these things. There's a quote that says, what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say. Right? And I think that's true. If we want to be people of influence, what we do and what we say, there has to be some lining up. And where that doesn't line up, there is grace. But hopefully we're humble enough to say, hey, that wasn't right. Even if we're leaders in that person's life. And I think that speaks volumes as well. Deuteronomy 7, let's go on here. Then it says, talks about impressing them onto our children. And it says to talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The point of talking all of this is really when you're stationary at home, when you're mobile and going somewhere else away from home, when you are resting and lying down, and when you're up. In every situation, in all walks of life, we are to teach our children, and to, if you're not a parent as well, I think mentor people as well. And this is what Jesus did when he discipled his disciples, right? That discipleship wasn't just a school that had a buzzer, bing, and then they sat in Jesus' school and then they left. No, Jesus walked with them. He lived with them. And so many of the lessons that Jesus was teaching was just as they were doing different things, he was teaching them. And this is what Christianity really is meant to be. Christianity is not just a school that we enter, but it's an apprenticeship, right? I don't know, how many of you are apprentices right now? Anyone? Maybe no one. In the sense of being a Christian, I guess you are, right? But when I looked up online, what apprenticeship often is 20% school and 80% on-the-job experience, where you're shown how to do that. And I think that's what Christianity is too. We offer programs like Sunday school and youth, because that's important. And we want to encourage you and your children, and we're all in this together to teach them. But then when we send them back to you during the week, again, we need to do this everywhere and press them onto your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. This is what we're called to do. Christianity is meant to be a show and tell. We show how to live, and then we tell them this is what the Word of God says. The beautiful thing is that this is what Jesus did, right? He didn't just tell his disciples, do this. Hey, see those people? Serve them. Love them. He did it himself. In John 13, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus got low and he showed them, he modeled to them how to serve and the attitude of humility to have. Later in that chapter, Jesus says something kind of cool. He says, a new command I give you. I don't know if that perked the disciples' ear. Whoa, a new command? Wow, neat. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Isn't that amazing? Jesus modeled what it meant to love. He embodied the love of God. He showed them that day in and day out as he walked with his disciples, as he ate with his disciples, as he had fellowship and communion with disciples. He modeled God's love and he said, you guys have now seen it. This is how you are to love. And if we're going to be parents, or even if you're not a parent, if you're going to be a leader in life, this is what you've got to do. Being a leader is to model our lives and be transformed by Christ so that people can see God in us, right? That's the ultimate point of a leader, is that people would see God transform your life and they would learn what it looks like to be a Christian, to be someone who follows Christ. Look what Paul said to the church in Corinth. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Wow, this is what he said to the church in Corinth. Paul knew he was not perfect, but he was living his life modeled after Jesus. And so he said, church, look after me. If you want a living example, again, not a perfect one, but if you want a living example, look at my life. We need to be able to say that in our lives as well. Again, we fall short, right? We fall short. There's a meme based on this verse that I can relate to sometimes. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. You have Christ. You have Paul. Yeah, he's pretty good. And then you have me. It's too real, right? It's honestly too real. I don't know if you feel like that third Spider-Man sometimes. Again, this is real. I often do. I often feel like that third Spider-Man, and I look at my life, and I know that if my life is going to be significant, it's going to have to reflect the glory of God. And so I look at my life as that third Spider-Man, and I say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, I thank you that there's grace, that I'm not called to be perfect, and I will never be perfect. I will always fall short of your glory. But God, I don't just want to accept your grace to forgive my sins. I want to accept your grace to transform my life, to look like Jesus. So if that's you this morning and you feel discouraged, just ask the Holy Spirit for help. Just cry out to him and say, Holy Spirit, I want to be shaped by your love. I want to be someone that models Christ in my life because this is my ultimate calling. If you're a parent, I think we could all say that we want the best for our kids, right? We want the best for our kids. We want to give them the best. I'm having a very hard time not just buying everything for Eliana. It's very tough. We were in a store the other day, and we went to the toy aisle. This is dangerous. Like, why do we do this? We went to the toy aisle, and now she's old enough to walk around, and she grabs a doll off the shelf, and she loved the doll, and me and Val are looking at each other like, do we have to buy this now? Or like, I think we do, right? Like, she likes it. How dare we take it away and not buy it? But ultimately, we can give a lot of gifts to our kids, but the number one gift that I can give is to model Christ. There's no greater gift than that. The number one gift that I could give is to love God with all I've got and to model that, to remind myself of that daily and then to impress it on her life in a way that's not just dead, but in a way that's lived out and real. Amen? I can't give a better gift. And we can't give a better gift to the people around us as well. Either you're a parent or not, this is relevant for all of us. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 as we wrap up. I'll invite the worship team to come up. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. This is what Paul is saying to Timothy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I'm persuaded lives in you as well. Church, we need to have a living faith. Can I say that again? We need to have a living faith. We need to have a living faith. In this region, there is a lot of faith that is just traditional. We call ourselves Christians. We look like everyone else and we're not transformed by God. We need to have a living faith. It's a living and breathing faith that gets passed down to the next generation here. And this is what we must embody as well. Amen?
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.